about knowledge.
Next week, do not miss next week, okay? Because I'm going to be sharing with you the knowledge of God regarding the destiny of our knowledge. What will our knowledge lead us to, and what outcomes should we expect in our lives? How we can make correction in the outcomes of our life by correcting our knowledge? And how does knowledge really lead to eternal life or eternal damnation? And how knowledge leads us to a blessed life on earth? You know, we have studied a little bit about knowledge in Romans 10 and Romans 1 and in John 4. The Lord Jesus is encouraging us to get His knowledge aright. Okay? That we need to get His knowledge aright because it is His knowledge that leads us into salvation. You see, the root cause of all of our hurts and troubles are the defects of our character because of our sinful nature. So as long as sin is present in our life and the knowledge of sin, and as long as we struggle and act in sinful way, then we should expect lots of heartaches and lots of pain and lots of troubles and distresses in our lives. And because this is real and true, then we need to find our way out of it. And the way out of it is the salvation of our own soul from our own sins. And we cannot be saved by our own strength, neither by our own word, nor by our own power. We cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us by the power of His word. Paul learned that. He heard the voice of Christ on the road to Damascus. He believed. Once he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest." He heard His voice. He heard His word. He humbled himself and he surrendered his heart and mind and soul, and he became a transformed man. You know, Paul was actually on the road of self-destruction, believing that he was doing God's will. You know, this is kind of serious. Could there be many Christians today who believe in God? Who are on the road of self-destruction? Yes. Do you know why? If you ask Paul why, he had knowledge, but not according to wisdom. He was trained at the hand of Gamaliel, one of the leaders of the synagogue. He had the knowledge of the Bible. He had the knowledge of theology at the hand of the best educators in Israel. So he had the knowledge of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew the Old Testament so well. But he was on the road of self-destruction. He was persecuting the church and killing or causing the murder of adults and children. How could that be? And you know, there are many people in churches today who are on the road of self-destruction regardless of the knowledge they have about God. And you know, it is quite serious because Jesus prophetically already foretold that many will come on that day of judgment at His appearing and say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we glorified Your name, and haven't You have done wonders in our lives?" And the Lord will say unto them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So the knowledge of the Bible does not save us. The knowledge of the Bible applied by the Word of God and in wisdom in our decisions will bring about our salvation. Therefore, Paul said in the book of Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed." Actually, another way to say that, "I am deeply indebted to God's word, and I am in love with God's word, for it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth." And listen, I can preach the gospel, and I can share the gospel with you. And I can share the gospel with many people. But you know, it's not going to make you wise. What will make me and you wise is to learn this word, seek after it, eat it and digest it daily, and apply it in our lives. That's what makes us wise. Next week, I'm going to give you the process. The title will be The Destiny of Our Knowledge. So you can analyze your own self every day. You don't have to call the pastor for that. Okay? You will have the process right there. You enter into conflict and trouble, go back to the chart and see where you went wrong. So we will show you that, how to put everything together. How to improve your relationship and how to avoid toxic relationships. How to make some very good decision in every aspect of life. And how to correct path when you go astray. It's all about the knowledge we possess and the knowledge we apply in our decisions. So we learn from Paul that we need the Word of God daily to save us from our own sinful nature and the defects of our traits of character and our constant evil desires. We cannot save ourselves. But we need to know how Jesus saves and how we can come to the throne of grace boldly, as we learned this morning. The reason we do not go to the throne of grace because of our misplaced faith. As Eric said, when things are going just fine in our lives, 90% of all of our decision, we have faith in ourselves, in others, and in things. I'm talking about Christians now. I'm not talking about non-Christians. And maybe 10% of the time, between 1 and 10%, this is where the studies show, between 1 and 10% that Christian base their decisions on the knowledge of God and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have also learned that when our own decisions, the 90% faith in ourselves, other, and things, began to crumble and we began to fall apart, and when we face calamities of all kinds, it switches. Mm-hmm. We began to resort to 90% faith in God because all of our ways found us, right? All of our decisions found us completely powerless and helpless and desperate. But it shouldn't be that way. Do you know that when we apply 90% of our decisions, 100% even better, when we apply 90% of our decisions through faith in Jesus and His blessed Holy Word, we actually change our tomorrow. We avert crisis and postpone our funerals. That is the mystery of the gospel. That is how God unveiled His knowledge early on when He took the people of Israel out. And before that, when He spoke to Abraham, the mystery was, if you hear my word and believe my word and obey my word, all of these blessings will come upon you. And the nations of the world will know that you are blessed because of your faith in me. And He promised long life. And that is exactly what we're going to be studying today. So the Word of God has the power to save us from our daily sins and the suffering that we cannot endure. But we have to learn how to take that knowledge of our sins and our need of salvation, like you did this morning when you were offered the opportunity to pray. You know, it takes lots of boldness and courage to hear you sharing your own struggles and your need for salvation and deliverance. When you do that, the battle is no longer yours. See, that is the power of the Word of God. The Lord told His people of Israel who were struggling because of their sins and living in great fears, you know, just listen to the prophets and listen to my words. and turn all of your fears and worries to me. The battle is no longer yours. It is the Lord. Rejoice and be of good courage. So we live by faith and not by sight, and that is the power of salvation. We also spend time with David, and he told us that the word of God applied in our own decision make us wiser than our enemies, for they are ever with us. You know, I am so thankful to very carefully and prayerfully say, I don't have enemies among mankind. I have two enemies. One is in me, and the other has been there long before I was born. But here's the thing. There are some people somewhere who have chosen to become my enemy. I didn't choose to make them my enemy. They chose on their own to become my enemy. And I'm going to alert you to that. You have people who have chosen to become your enemies that you do not know them. They talk about you. They would like to see you hurt. They would like to take something from you. But you are not aware of them. The word of God apply. And trusting the Lord with all your heart. And leaning not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledging Him. He shall direct thy path. And He will defeat your enemies. And therefore the word of God said, in Isaiah chapter 41 and chapter 40. Loaded with these promises. Fear thou not. Now that you have applied the word of God and you came to Jesus, said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, for thou art mine. But it doesn't stop there. He says, and all them that shall rise up against you shall be incensed and confounded, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. The word of God make us wiser than our enemies, wiser than our teachers who have itching ears, who do not know the Lord and give us information that may not be godly. Because we know what is truth, we can expose what is erroneous, isn't it? You know, I'm always fond when I go down to the store and my Palestinian buddy there, amazing. Many people come and they exchange money one after another, you know. And he goes, and then I'm watching him and he puts some money aside. Doesn't talk, doesn't do anything. And then he looked at me and he said, I have a $400 bill. Did not even look at it. And I went to the side. I looked at it. If I didn't look completely at it up, I wouldn't have known. But how did he, just by touching it, knew about it? Because he knew the real one. When you have the real truth and the real word of God, you will always know what is forgery. So all the teachers in school and all of your friends who are atheists and all of the neighbors and all of the TV programs and all of Hollywood movies and documentaries will not be able to deceive you, because you know what is true. For me, I couldn't do that. I said, man, how do you do that? You're just counting the money and you put one aside. And then he had to deal with it. He had to inform the customer, I'm sorry, the law required me to call the police. Uh-oh. Or to take this to the bank. Uh-oh. Why? He said, this is forged. You can wait. I'll call the police and then he can discuss it with you. Uh-oh. And you know, the guy fled. And some people were waiting for him outside. He knew it was forged. But I was quite impressed by looking at this. The only thing that came to my mind is the word of God. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word of God make you wiser than your enemies, than your teachers, and make you on the alert. You know, this is election time.
Oh, yeah.
All of the ads, people are spending millions and millions of dollars on contradicting ads. Vote yes, vote no. How would you know what is true? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we have learned that the word of God has the power to save us from the depressive episode of sin in our life daily. Did you hear my term? Sin does lead to depression if it is not resolved. And why do we have it? Why do we allow it to fester? Why do we allow sin to continue to grow? When the Bible said, my children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the world. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can receive mercy and help in time of need. We reached a point of emotional disturbance, all the way to depression, because we don't deal with sin early on. That's it. On the onset of that mistake, go to the Lord in prayer. And we have seen in the life of David, he became depressed because of that. Jeremiah, many of the prophets, when they have delayed, they experience that. Therefore, the word of God is the power unto salvation. And here's the key to whosoever what?
Believe.
That is the key. Did you see the problem there? Should we continue to trust in our own feeble, sinful nature? It's going to get worse. It's going to affect us, affect every blessing around us. Or we can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, when you walk in the store and by accident you hit somebody, what do you say?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
You see, it's kind of amazing. With other people, we fear the consequences, and we immediately say what? Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm
but
sorry.
When we sin against God and against ourselves, we take our time. Somehow we think that there is no consequences. So who is giving us that erroneous knowledge? Satan. Satan does not make us do anything bad. Did you hear that?
You're right.
Satan invites us
right.
to separate ourselves from God, from His Word, and to do it our own wrong way.
That's right.
And by that, you see, how do we get to the point of demon possession? When we keep listening to Satan, we are actually building a partnership.
Oh, wow.
When we keep listening to him and doing it the way he's asking us to do it, and we keep missing our lives and the lives of our families, and we keep losing the blessings, suddenly, you know, when you establish a friendship, when one friend is overpowering, that over friend eventually take over. That's how demon possession take place. And there is no need for it. God's people who are struggling sinners have a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. So we have learned the power of that knowledge. It saves us from our sins. It makes us wiser than our enemies. And today, we're going to be studying about Solomon again and how the knowledge of God gave him wisdom. And with the wisdom, he was giving what? Riches. Remember, last week, we discussed the story of Solomon, how he came to power, and how David asked Nathan, the prophet, and Zadok, the priest, to come and anoint Solomon and pray for him. And then David told him, my son, Follow the word and the commandments of God, and it will be well with you and with the nation of Israel forever. And the Lord will defeat all of your enemies. Just follow the word of God and all of his statutes. And Solomon immediately took it to heart.
Yes.
And he went and gathered the priests and the people. He offered lots of sacrifices. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. And after he prayed, he went to sleep. And the Lord appeared to him in a dream.
Yes.
And he said, Solomon, I heard your prayer. Now ask anything that you want.
Wow.
When I was a kid, I saw that movie, The Magic Lantern. And I said, boy, if I just have that magic lantern. And the thing I was asking for was millions of Egyptian pounds.
Oh, wow.
Here, the Lord, who really controls the heaven and the earth and the sea and life in the universe, talked to Solomon in a dream and said, ask.
Mm, Lord.
And what did Solomon ask for?
Wisdom.
Knowledge,
understanding,
and wisdom to judge fairly and justly and to lead the people of Israel into the peaceful shores of eternity.
Wow.
Said, I'm a child. I don't have the knowledge or the experience of my father. How did you elect me? I got nothing in me. I need that knowledge. I need that understanding. I need that wisdom and decisions. I don't have it. And then he got the greatest response back. He said, because ye did not ask for the life of your enemies, and because ye did not ask for riches, and ye did not even ask for your own life, but ask for an understanding and wise heart, I will give you an understanding and wise heart that no one before you was as wise as you are. Why aren't we asking for that? God desired to give us that. Don't we make decisions every day?
Yes.
We can make it on our own. Or we can pray for his knowledge, his understanding, and his wisdom in all decisions that we make. And he said, because also you did not ask for your enemies, no one will be able to stand up against you. And you know, in the Old Testament, it says all the weapons are massed up against you shall not prosper.
Mm. Yes.
And he said, because you did not ask for riches, I will give you riches that none other before you or after you will be as rich as you are.
Wow.
Prosperity. Prosperity.
He was lonely.
So he lived his life. Solomon made many, many, many good decisions. Solomon also had his shares of bad decisions. And one of his first bad decisions, that he went to Pharaoh in Egypt and asked to marry his daughter. He was not supposed to marry someone not of the faith.
Right.
And that was a thorn in his flesh that brought him lots of problems later on. He did not heed the wisdom of God. It's not because she was an Egyptian.
She wasn't Jewish.
She was not of the commonwealth of Israel. She worshipped in Egyptian temples. She worshipped the god Ra and all the gods of Egypt. I am wondering if she was converted later or not, but based on my understanding, lots of problems happened in the life of Solomon because of this decision that brought other decisions into the equation. But at the end of his life, Solomon's wisdom was fully restored.
Yes.
He knew how to receive pardon and forgiveness.
Yes.
He knew how to be restored back to that character of his God and Savior. He suffered a lot of humility because of his bad choices. But eventually God restored his wisdom, and that is when he wrote unto us the book of Proverbs.
Okay.
And I want to read his words as an old man now.
Okay.
And David wrote the book of Psalms after he reached that age and after his long life experience with God.
Mm.
So now let us read the words of the Son. And I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 4. How can we enjoy a long, prosperous life on earth? And I'm going to read from verse 1. Proverbs 4:1. That book, Proverbs, was a treasure to me when I was a teen. When I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus at the age of 15 and a half for sure. I was baptized at the age of 12, but really I did not surrender my heart to the Lord until I was saved from drowning in the Mediterranean Sea. And the book of Proverbs was my father. It was my teacher. It was my private and most wonderful counselor. It helped me grow in knowledge and wisdom. It helped me change the way I speak and whom I speak with, how I make decisions. And I tell you, it created lots of enemies in my life. Well, they were always there. It just when you try to follow the words of wisdom, you finally began to see them. They're always there. And then you walk on with your journey with the word of God. And I heard so many terms. People say he's wise. Others say he's really sneaky. You know, just because I learned the power of talking less and listening much. He's up to something. I was just exercising the words of knowledge, because you cannot get the right understanding about the people you are dealing with unless you have prayed for knowledge and understanding. So when you are listening, they are lying to their teeth. They are conniving. And the more you listen, the more they believe you believe them. And so they talk more and expose their sins even the more. So the Lord gives you the complete picture and understanding. And they are not aware of it, because they don't have the spirit of knowledge and wisdom in them. You do. If you talk a lot, there's a problem. There's a problem. Bible says, in the multitudes of words, sin abound. Again, it is from this man here who was known to be the wisest ever lived. So let us learn from him. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. That chapter is very special to me because I never had an earthly father, as far as I remember. After my dad died, I don't even know how he looked. So when I listened to these words, I felt so comforted. I felt I really have a father. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Therefore, really, there are no orphans on this earth. We all have the same heavenly father. And the Bible talks about the church of Christ, the body of the living God, as the mother that is espoused to the Heavenly Father. The church of Christ, pure and holy, should be able to take in every hurting individual, widows, fatherless, poor and rich, troubled and sick, to give them the compassion and the love of Jesus, and to provide them with the healing remedy and the restoration into the kingdom of God as children of God. And as Lisa chose the verses this morning in Romans, we become sons and daughters of God in his church. And we become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus in his church. And throughout all the New Testament, the Bible calls the church the wife that is espoused unto the Lord Jesus. And we will get into these prophecies in months to come. So here it says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Did you see that? Instruction is knowledge. Now with the knowledge, you need to have some understanding. In the youth department, years ago, many of these kids were baptized already. And I asked the question, I was an assistant there in the youth department, and I asked the question to the young people, and I was completely unprepared for what I heard. I said, guys, I want you to tell me, what does it mean to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Silence. Well, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's one of them answered that way. So he answered with a center. I said, what does that mean to you as a person in your life? Accept Jesus as a personal Savior. And the best answer I heard after that, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to go to heaven. That's true.
Yes, true.
But no one was able to really develop the understanding. What does it mean in your daily life? And so, we took that decision to the adult class, and the same problem existed. They had knowledge, but no understanding. And the answers that the adults gave were more theology. That Jesus came to die for our sins. Well, that is true.
Yeah.
He's not answering the question. What does it mean for you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Solomon is saying, hear instruction and get understanding. If the word of God cannot be understood right and to be used in your daily decisions, this means you lack understanding. Having the theology of the Bible 100% correct without understanding of how it applies in your daily life and living, it's not going to be profitable, and you may not go to heaven. Do you know why? Do you know that Satan knows the theology of the Bible 100% perfectly more than you and me? He understands the Bible. He understands the most complicated prophecies that I don't understand at all. But does he understand how to apply this living word of truth in his life? No.
No.
And that is what Solomon is talking about. Don't just hear. Hear with understanding. Verse 2. For I give good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, the law of wisdom. I give good doctrine, principles, as how they ought to be applied for your life, that you may have what? A longer life. Is there doctrine in the Bible about how to speak?
Yes.
Is there doctrine in the Bible about how to pray?
Yes.
And about the power of prayer and how it works?
Yes.
Is there doctrine in the Bible about hymns?
Yes.
And what hymns do for your heart and mind and soul?
Yes.
Is there doctrine in the Bible about a healthy diet that can help you avoid lots of diseases?
Yes. Yeah.
It's written there. And it is not written by Moses. The Lord is saying, I, the Lord thy God, instruct you, from this you shall eat and from this you shouldn't eat. He created everything and he knows what is good and healthy for human consumption and he knows what it is not. Everything that pertains to our life and death, we can postpone our funeral. And we can live a prosperous life if we get understanding. I think it was Eric that told me that he goes to a Bible study and, you know, he was offered, and I'm not trying to offend any of you who are eating different from me, okay? I'm just telling you the living word of truth, and it's up to you to go and pray and get some knowledge for it. they offered him pork and he decided he doesn't eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not rub it into anybody's face. He just mm-hmm. said, you know, I don't eat pork. And they offered him other food. He went and ate, but there is an individual who came. So I'm just trying to get some understanding, he asked. Why didn't you eat that? And you know, he just began to share, said, why don't you read the Bible? In these two chapters, another gentleman came, tried to turn it into a severe argument.
Oh no.
Are we seeking understanding or are we seeking conflict?
Conflict.
In Bible study yesterday, I said there are two ways to read the Bible. I read the Bible to see my weaknesses and how to enter into the strength of the Lord. That's why I'm not ashamed or afraid of the living word of God that convicts me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What's wrong with that? You know, many people get sick, right? And go to the doctor, and the doctor tells them, you know, listen, all of the tests, the allergy tests, and all of this is saying you are really allergic to this and this and that. Don't eat it. And what do?
Eat it.
You know, if we want to live healthy, we listen to the doctor.
That's true.
Right? And we stop eating the things that we thought good for us.
True.
Because the doctor said, if you continue to eat it, you're going to be coming to see me again and things are going to get worse. So out of fear, we stop eating the thing that we believe is tasteful and good for us. Do we have to wait till that? For a doctor to tell us to eat and not to eat?
No.
You know, there are certain things I eat that cause me allergy. Mm. I don't eat it for the simple reason my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
That's what the Bible says. See, again, the word of knowledge. It said your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He that destroys the temple of God, him will God destroy. So if you know how to take care of your body and you don't, actually, you are committing the ultimate sin against yourself and against the maker of your body. So with the doctrine, got understanding, why did God say, do this and don't do that? Is it because he loves us and wants us to live a long, blessed life and to secure our salvation eternally? Or is it just to make our life more difficult? And to take away good things from us. That's what the enemy tried to say. This is too rigid. Too many restrictions. You know, I'm stunned that lately, in the last year alone, I don't know, many young people and adults are getting tumors. Boys and girls, men and women, tumors. Tumors in the body, tumors in the brain. And here is what I have found in common. In general, not 100%, in general, most of these do not have a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So they lacked the knowledge, they lacked the faith, they lacked the doctrine, and they lived their life eating and drinking and living by their own principles
mm-hmm.
and the principles of the world. I also discovered that when the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ is introduced to them, those who accepted them, the Lord is still merciful.
Yes.
The Lord is still merciful. A 22-year-old young man came to the hospital with a severe headache. So he felt just his brain is going to explode.
Ooh.
And he came to the hospital and they took MRI for the brain, CT scan, and they found a mass on the brain.
Ooh.
So the doctor tried to give everything that they can to slow it down, and they said, you know, just stay in the hospital for 2 days, we'll give you what we can to decide what are we going to do about it.
Ooh.
I happened to visit the young man yesterday before the second review. And he told me that he just gave his heart to the Lord Jesus
mm-hmm.
with his fiance, and he's been going to church. That is after I offered him to pray. And he said, yes, sir. He said, do you believe that it is God who created your mind and your heart and body? And do you believe that he's able to heal it directly or through the help of doctors and medicine? He said, yes, sir. Very respectful. He said, shall we pray for that? He said, yes. I asked him about where he worked and where he has been. And I asked him if he knows about anything that really caused that. He said, you know, the only thing I can tell with all honesty, before I knew the Lord, I was doing everything. Did you hear that?
Yes.
And I thought everyone else is doing, and it's 21 years old. And I didn't think about it. But a year ago, I decided, because my girlfriend is a believer in Jesus, I decided to give it a chance. And I found my heart changing, and I found my attitude changing, and my decision is slowly changing, and now I find myself where I am. And so we prayed together. And I left. Prayed for his healing. And I can hear him praying along with me. And I came the next week to the hospital. He's gone. I usually don't ask. Very few times when I ask the nurses what was the outcome here or there. But I didn't ask. 2 weeks later, I come to the hospital and he's there. I said, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. I said, did they move you? Because I came last 2 weeks and you weren't here. He said, no, sir, I left already. I said, how did you leave? He said, you know, the next day after we prayed, they took another CT scan and they found that the mass was gone. The mass in the brain is gone. And there were just very minor bleeding, and the doctor decided just to give me medicine to take care of the problem. You see, when God takes control of medicine and physician and our lives, amazing things happen. I said, what brought you back here? He said, the medicine I was given here was very good. Then I went back home and I went to get medicine from another hospital to keep me going. They gave me the wrong medicine. And I told him, I don't want to return back there. I want to come back to this hospital. Do you see how God works?
Yes.
Knowledge, understanding, the knowledge and the power of prayer.
Yes.
And how it works.
Yes.
Understanding of how God's saving grace works in our life every day as struggling sinners. Applying these in our lives, it does work miracles.
Yes.
Longer life. Imagine if this young man was not in Jesus at this time. And he didn't know what his own actions for all of these years was producing. You see, the human body is so amazing. It takes a lot to destroy. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes 20 years. Sometimes it takes 30 years before it catches up with you. And therefore, it was Solomon who said to the young people, remember your Creator in the day of your youth before the days of trouble comes. And you will say, I have no hope in them. The earlier we come to the Lord, and the earlier we believe on Him, and the earlier we recognize the power of prayer, the power of devotion, and the power of loving service, the longer we live and the more protected we are and the faster we heal from the curse of sin in our lives and around us. That's what Solomon is saying. And then he said, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. You know, he honors his parents. Remember, who was Solomon's mother?
Bathsheba.
Very good, Sandra. Very good. Bathsheba. You think if there would be something good coming out of that sinful relationship?
It would be Solomon.
See how God works?
Yes.
See how God turns the sorrows of our life into something different when we trust in Him?
Mysterious ways.
Solomon honored his father and his mother. And that is another reason for long life. Not because I said it. The Lord said it, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days on earth may be long.
Yes.
Honor them. Respect them. There's only one thing you can do that may dishearten them. So the only time you disobey them is when they ask you to do something that is against the Lord's will. Paul says, obey thy father and mother in the Lord, for this is truth. You know, I don't remember too many things my mother told me. Well, she did it in her own right ways. You know, that was against the Lord's will. And I simply said, Mom, I'm not going to be able to do that. It is not right with my conscience. And you know, right away she told me, okay, I understand.
Wow.
I understand. And she honored that. But very rarely in her lifetime would she ever ask me to do anything. Sometimes she asked me to give my brother some money and I said no. Because he's going to smoke it up. I said no. I have given enough and I am wasting the Lord's money. So verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. You know, if we have godly parents who know the word of God, who are praying for us, who are serving us, if they teach us the living words of God, we would be wise children like Solomon, not just to hear it, but to apply it. But I understand, in the world today, sometimes parents are not connected with Jesus at all. It doesn't mean we have a reason not to. And sometimes one parent is connected with Christ, the other is not. It doesn't mean we have a reason not to. Our life on earth and our eternity is a decision made by us individually. It is never too late to receive the power of his love and the power of his knowledge and the power of salvation in your life. And he promised. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their old wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. And that's why we're here today. Our lives could have been very, very different. Some of us may not have been alive today. And if alive, maybe in a complete difficult physical position. If we did not hear his voice and humbled our heart and went to him. But we did. We praise God Almighty for that. And that is exactly what Solomon, he said, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And then he said, get wisdom. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now that is the tough challenge. You see, how do we develop trust in anybody or anything? How do you develop trust in any human being?
Let us see the proof.
By talking about coming.
Absolutely. You have to communicate with them. You have to know a lot about them, don't you? Before you place your trust in them, you have to have seen it, heard it, walked with them, and eventually, by the knowledge that you have received of them, you develop faith and trust in them. Now, imagine if one of those people that I have known for a long time, and I developed a level of trust in them, came to me and said, Abraham, I think you are due for a new car. He's giving me what? Knowledge. And he gave me the reasoning. This Corolla have 176,000 miles on it. You are a pastor and you need something better than that. Knowledge. It's going to start breaking on you. It's going to cost you much more to fix it than to consider a new car. Knowledge. And I'm going to assume that he does not wish me any harm.
No.
Now I have taken this information. Now I have to develop a set of value. How much value will I place on the knowledge I have received? And how much faith will I have in this knowledge? And then he continues, you may consider this model or that model. They're very good on gas. And maybe during this time of the year, you can get a very good deal because they have to get them all out of stock.
Okay.
Knowledge. Did you see that? With every knowledge we receive, our value either increase or decrease. Did you see that? That's where we got our sets of values from. What do we value? Come from what we have trusted, what we place our faith in, and that comes from the knowledge we have received. So, if I decided to just trust that dear person and chose not to pray and not to seek further understanding of God's will, what is going to happen?
It's going to be scammed.
I will build my faith and trust now in other people whom I have no knowledge of. Going to have to go either to a dealership or begin to look on Craigslist or in the newspaper every Sunday, and now I am dealing with all of these people whom I don't know. I did not pray, I did not get further understanding, and here it is, I found a great car with a great price that I can afford. I decided I'm not going to buy another new one, I'm going to buy a used one with low mileage. I did not pray, I did not seek the Lord, neither did I seek his understanding. I have forgotten the knowledge of life. And I would go and call the individual and go and see the car. It looks great. And I open the hood. Engine looks great. Mileage is low. And I take it for a drive. It drives great. And I give him the money. And I take the pink slip. A week later, I began to have problems. I'm angry at the guy now. I'm quite angry. Not at myself. I made the decision. I'm angry at the guy.
Right?
But I go, I look at the contractual agreement as is. No legal discourse. And now I take it to the mechanic. I said, oh, there was a damage in the engine down deep here. And I would ask, did this guy know about it before? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. So what happened? I have created my own distress. Why? Because I took the knowledge.
The trust.
And I developed the faith and trust. Mm-hmm. And I set my value, but I forsake the fountain of living water. Mm-hmm. Because God knows the hidden things of this world. And that is what Solomon is trying to teach us. Get understanding. You know, the mechanic would say, if you bought this car here and we diagnosed it first, we would have told you not to buy it. And many good people, when they sell cars, they say that. Why don't you take it and diagnose it first?
Mm-hmm.
Get understanding. I'm not a mechanic. I cannot really judge the car by the way it looks and by the engine, right? And all of us make those kind of decisions and mistakes in our lives. But, you know, we come back to Jesus the way we are. And that's our journey on earth. I've had my share of those bad decisions, by the way. And I'm not sharing you an example that I didn't go through it myself. Okay? I had made those decisions in my lifetime.
Yes.
And I'm just using the car because it's a simple thing. And I am looking in the market for a new car for next year. Okay, so I'm just telling you something I am going through.
Oh.
Okay, there is a way to go about it, and I'm very, very blessed because my cars have come through that process. I got one from the auction. They didn't know how many people used it before, and I tell you, because it came from Hertz, many people use this car, the Corolla. And I prayed and I prayed, Lord, you know my limitation. I work very hard for everything I earn.
Right.
I don't want to make a mistake. May you elect that next car for me. And you know, my neighbor works in the auction place. The Lord led me to my neighbor. And my neighbor introduced me to somebody else. And he says, just come in, look at the cars and tell me which one you want. And you know, I had to act in complete faith in God. And I said, I like this car. And he went inside, all of the thing, you know, I don't know what they were doing. And he came later and told me, we got it for you. And for a price I can afford. You know, I praise God Almighty since 1996.
Wow.
The car was 1 year old. It had only about 14,000 miles on it. I paid $7,000 less than its price. It has been with me up to now. See how many years? Because I couldn't trust myself. I don't know much of anything. I couldn't trust others. I had to trust the Lord. I followed the principle of the Bible. And I want to bring it to a close here because with the knowledge, you get to get understanding. And you cannot get understanding unless you inquire of the Lord to disclose to you what you cannot see. And secondly, you need to pray to the Lord Jesus to protect you and to deliver you from any seen and unseen evil. The knowledge helps you make good decisions regarding your own health. The knowledge of God helps you to make decisions to build the best of friendship and the healthiest relationships. The knowledge of God helps you to overcome conflict and show you the way out of conflict. The word of God helps you be restored and healed from the inside out. The word of God is the foundation of all wise choices and decisions. And that is very much what I have been learning from Solomon. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I'm going to stop here today and continue next week. Let us pray that we are given all the right knowledge and that we wait upon the Lord to give us this knowledge. With the knowledge, let us pray for further understanding. You know, I have a little weakness when I go shopping. Don't know about you.
Uh-oh.
I look at the newspaper a lot, especially the ads, weekly ads. And I watch it. I watch the price of something that I may want to use someday. And I watch that price coming down. Okay?
Uh-oh.
And I don't rush. And finally, I see the price drop pretty low. And guess what?
You go and get it.
My desire and my aptitude rise so strong. I better get it now before someone else gets it.
Uh-oh.
You know, even at that time, I left a word of prayer. Lord, you know my desire and you know my weakness. If I should be getting this, help me get it.
Right.
If it's going to be a blessing. If I shouldn't, make it disappear. And many a times I call and they say, out of stock. Other times, because I prayed, I make a little mistake. I go and buy the product. And you know, it happened lately over a little digital camera I bought. It was $200 a year and a half ago. It's a Samsung with double screens, where you can take pictures from this side or see yourself from this side. Excellent.
Wow.
And it has Wi-Fi in it. And I was waiting for it to go down. simply because I will use it. And when I go to Egypt, I have some very close family members who always ask me to sell them the camera there. So if I got it cheap, I sell it to them cheap. And I use it. And I have another cell phone where I can use it, the camera. But I went and I bought it. It went down to $99.
Wow.
And I prayed to Jesus to bless the process. You know, I brought it home. And because I was so busy, I did not have the chance to open it. Every time I go home, I say, I better get this thing out. I even did not check it, whether it has everything in it or not. And I need to charge it. I need to use it. And I would forget it for a whole 10 days. And I'm looking at the newspaper again, the weekly ad, and it went down another $10.
Wow.
If I opened it, I cannot return it back. There's 15% stocking fee.
That's true.
So I was able to go back and get my $10 back.
There was a reason.
And buy something else that I needed. Uh-huh. Why? Because of prayer. Mm. Don't take the word of God lightly. Yes, when the Bible said, in all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. You see, there's prosperity in knowledge and in wisdom if we choose it and if we live it. This is my earnest prayer. I am not always wise and I am not always knowledgeable and I have my shares of mistakes, but I know how to go always to Jesus. Mm. He alone can make all things wrong right again for me. May God bless us and guide us in his own knowledge and wisdom. And may he guide us unto all truth and show us his way. In all decisions of life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? Lord, forgive us where we have gone on our own, when we have made our own choices and decisions, and we have seen, O Lord, the outcome thereof. Thank you for being so merciful. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your long-suffering, and thank you for loving us so deeply, from everlasting unto everlasting, regardless of our defects of character. Lord, you are able to make every wrong decision right with thee, and therefore we have and continue to surrender our hearts, our mind, our bodies that you have given us, and every gift you've given us, and every struggle, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, to your own complete control. As you protect us, preserve us from the evil one, guide us unto all truth, and continue to transform our heart and mind and character, and help us to place our values on that which is holy, that which is pure, that which is good and right, by the instruction of your Holy Spirit, in all decisions of life, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.